and pro-Palestine rallies continue unabated across the globe. Protesters accuse Israel of committing genocide in Gaza, calling for an immediate ceasefire. Hello and thank you for joining us. Now, Israel continues with this savage bombardment of the Gaza Strip as the regime's deadly onslaught against the besieged Palestinian territory enters its 28th day. The death toll from Israel's genocidal raids on Gaza, which began on October the 7th, has surpassed 9,000, including more than 3,600 children. An Israeli airstrike on the Buraj refugee camp in the center of Gaza City has killed 22 people. Israeli jets also bombed the Jabalia refugee camp for the third day on Thursday. The regime strikes on the refugee camp have left hundreds of people dead and wounded. A journalist working for Palestine TV station was also killed after an Israeli strike hit his home in the city of Khan Yunis. Meanwhile, the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees said four schools sheltering displaced people have been damaged as a result of Israel's indiscriminate raids. Israel has received heavy blows from Palestinian resistance movement Hamas amid its ground incursions into the Gaza Strip. The Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the movement, has warned the regime that its invading soldiers will, quote, go back home in black bags. The spokesman for the brigades said Gaza will be the curse of history for Israel. Abu Ubaidah added that resistance fighters have attacked Israeli forces directly using anti-tank missiles and dropping bombs from drones. He described the operations as successful, saying a large number of Israeli forces have been killed. Abu Ubaidah's comments came as the Israeli military claimed its troops have completely surrounded Gaza City following days of expanding ground operations. Earlier on Thursday, a senior Hamas official said Israel's ground invasion of Gaza has failed.
Regarding the ground invasion, I can confirm with high confidence that the occupation forces suffered from major failure and suffered heavy losses in soldiers and tanks. Al-Qassam brigades and the resistance factions continue to resist and to stop the occupation forces in the ground, and they succeeded in inflicting damage and losses on the occupation forces. Gaza will remain a thorn in the throat of the occupation, and we will continue to fight against the occupation.
Hamas said Israel will also fail to make any political, military or security gains in the battleground. The Hamas officials said Israel's Western allies, including the United States, are complicit in the massacre of women and children in Gaza. He said the West seeks its own goals in the region, but nothing can change the geopolitical map of Palestine and the Gaza Strip. Another Hamas official also turned the spotlight on the plight of Gazans in the face of the regime's deadly raids.
The health situation in Gaza is catastrophic. And unfortunately, up until now, the sufficient supplies aren't reaching the place to treat our people. There are those who are dying today as a result of chronic situations, cancer, dialysis, because of the lack of medical supplies as a result of the ongoing siege against the Palestinian people.
Hamdan added that Israel is now committing, quote, the massacre of the century in the Gaza Strip. He said the regime has resorted to using internationally banned white phosphorus bombs against the Palestinian resistance. Iran's deputy permanent representative to the United Nations office in Geneva has strongly condemned Israel's deadly onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip. Mehdi Ali Abadi said the regime's plan to displace and forcibly evacuate the Palestinian population in Gaza is a crime against humanity. Ali Abadi was speaking at a meeting of the Palestinian Committee of the International Organization for Migration. He called on the organization not to remain indifferent in the face of a looming displacement crisis in Gaza. The Iranian envoy also urged the organization to take a strong and decisive position on any action that leads to the forced displacement of the Palestinian population. Ali Abadi condemned Israel's crimes as brutal and barbaric. A group of UN human rights experts has warned of a looming humanitarian catastrophe in the besieged Gaza Strip amid Israel's brutal onslaught on the territory. They said time is running out to prevent a genocide in Gaza. The group, which conducts fact-finding and monitoring activities in Gaza, also voiced deepening horror about Israel's strikes, calling them a brazen violation of international law and a war crime. The experts said the blockaded territory faces major health hazards and is in dire need of food, water, medicines, fuel, and other essential supplies. They emphasized that Israel's backers also bear responsibility for the regime's crimes and must act to prevent its disastrous course of action. The experts also slammed Israel's attacks on refugee camps sheltering civilians in Gaza. They said such attacks violate the rules of proportionality and distinction between combatants and civilians. The World Health Organization calls for speeding up aid deliveries to Gaza, which is grappling with a severe humanitarian crisis caused by Israel's relentless strikes on civilians in the besieged territory. Let's take a listen.
We immediately established a warehouse, and the team is working against all odds and risks to their security to deliver life-saving medical supplies to the hospital. The WHO supplies that came into via Rafah have been immediately distributed to 7 hospitals all over Gaza. Fortunately, these essentially needed supplies are merely a drop in the ocean of needs. WHO calls for an urgent, accelerated access for humanitarian aid, including fuel, water, food, and medical supplies into and throughout the Gaza Strip.
Israeli forces have killed 2 Palestinian young men and injured 4 others during a violent raid on the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. The victims, identified as 31-year-old Suleiman Mohammed Stati and 26-year-old Jihad Ibrahim Mustafa, were killed during a massive Israeli raid on the city, followed by intense overflight of the regime's aircraft. Israeli forces also fired live bullets, as well as stun grenades and toxic tear gas during subsequent confrontations with Palestinians. This after earlier on Thursday, Israeli settlers attacked Palestinians in the northern part of the occupied territory, setting fire to their vehicles and stores. 3 Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces in the West Bank cities of Kalkalia and Bira, while a teenager died of gunfire injuries sustained on Monday. The regime has been escalating its raids across the West Bank since the beginning of this war on Gaza, killing more than 130 Palestinians there. Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah says it has simultaneously attacked 19 Israeli positions as part of its retaliation for the regime's attacks on Lebanese territory. A statement by Hezbollah said guided missiles and artillery were used to hit the Israeli targets. Earlier, Hezbollah said it used 2 drones to attack an Israeli military command position in the occupied Shebar Farms in a first attack of this kind. Meantime, the Qassam Brigade's branch in Lebanon says it has fired 12 missiles towards the Israeli town of Kiryat Shemona and its vicinity. The group said the attack was a response to the massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. Meantime, Israeli attacks left 3 dead in southern Lebanon. The Israeli military has been repeatedly attacking areas in southern Lebanon over the past few days. An Israeli commander has, however, acknowledged that the regime troops are under pressure due to operations by Hezbollah and are losing morale for battle. International outcry against Israel's brutal strikes on the besieged Gaza Strip continues to mount with large-scale demonstrations across the globe. A Jewish American advocacy group closed a highway in the city of Durham in the U.S. state of North Carolina to demand a ceasefire in Gaza. The group's activists deplored the Israeli bombardment of Gaza, the dire situation of its hospitals, and lack of essentials such as food and water in the territory. The activists called on President Joe Biden to stop the bombing of Gaza. In France, people held a vigil in the capital, Paris, accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza.
I'm here because I feel concerned. We are human beings. We want to live in unity. With what's happening, the massacre and genocide, it's very serious because Israel does not respect the United Nations or life. Life is sacred in Islam. We don't kill. We don't kill children. We don't kill elderly people. We don't kill disabled people. This is the Palestinians' land.
The French protesters denounced Israel as a terrorist entity. They accused President Emmanuel Macron of complicity in Israeli crimes against Palestinians. Elsewhere in Europe, protesters marched inside Athens International Airport in the Greek capital to express solidarity with Palestinians. The protesters called for a halt to Israel's killing of Palestinians and an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Pro-Palestinian rallies were also held in Africa. Ghanaian protesters took to the streets of the capital, Accra, to show their support for the people of Gaza.
All African leaders must unite, must stand together, because Africans, we are known, and I speak as an African today, we are known for our hospitality and we are known for our unity and our cultural values. Our cultural values that if we are to follow today, they will never stand for Israel, they will always stand for the people of Palestine. And I just want to let you know something, that today in Ghana, even though we have Ga, Ewe, and all others, Ashanti and white and whatnot, today, when one Ghanaian bleeds, everybody bleeds. And just like that, we are all one human race and we all fight against oppression and tyranny. That's all I have to say. Free, free Palestine.
Other major cities across the world have been the scene of similar pro-Palestinian rallies since Israel launched its deadly attacks against Gaza on October the 7th.
Despite repeated repression from the government, pro-Palestinian demonstrators continue to try and rally in France to demand that the Israeli regime end its war crimes in Gaza.
How can we possibly allow children and babies to be the targets of bombs? It's absolutely unacceptable. This isn't a war. It's a total massacre of the Palestinian people. The entire world is demanding a ceasefire immediately.
French President Emmanuel Macron is increasingly under fire for what appears to many like unconditional support for Tel Aviv, even as their atrocities mount with each passing minute. Paris only just joined the international chorus demanding that Israel accept a humanitarian truce right away.
We are here to put pressure on our government to stop these massacres, which are inflaming not just the entire region, but the entire world. I had no faith in Macron before this started, but now I can only say that he is not my president.
At the previous pro-Palestinian demonstration in the capital, local authorities banned the march just 90 minutes before its scheduled start.
That gave police the legal justification to hand out 135 euro fines to a whopping 1,400 protesters, totaling nearly 200,000 euros. However, people here said that regardless of the government's tactics, they will not be intimidated to stand up for Palestine.
I have been to many pro-Palestinian demonstrations. One time I was fined four times at the same protest. However, you can see I'm still here today to support Palestine, whether they authorize it or not. The government's repression of the liberty of expression is dangerous for all of France, and I hope everyone realizes that.
The French political class continues to falsely portray pro-Palestinian protesters not only as anti-Semitic, but increasingly accuses them of alleged incitement to terrorism. That likely won't stop a major anti-Israel protest in Paris on November 4th. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Outraged Syrians and Palestinians gathered in their Mook refugee camp in Damascus to support the people of Gaza against the brutal atrocities committed by the Israeli regime.
We have gathered today in Yarmouk camp to send a message of solidarity to our resilient brothers and sisters in Gaza who are bravely paving the way back to Palestine with their blood. We assure them that they are not alone. The Arab peoples, the resistance front, and the free people of the world stand with you.
We will liberate every part of Palestine by God's will. We express our gratitude to Syria and Mr. Bashar al-Assad for supporting us and taking an honorable stance. We tell everyone that our people will not die by the grace of God.
Protesters voiced their anger towards Western powers that have been supporting Israel's war crimes, specifically the recent massacre in the Jabalia refugee camp, which violates all laws, norms, and human ethics.
What happened in Jabalia and previous Israeli massacres provide clear evidence of regional and international collusion, but Gaza will not be left alone.
We say to Netanyahu and Joe Biden, come with all the strength and weapons you have, by land, sea, and air. By God, we have prepared fighters who embrace martyrdom as fervently as you cling to life. Victory will be ours.
Demonstrators rejected the Israeli displacement projects and emphasized their absolute faith in Gaza's victory over injustice, pledging to defend Palestine and its nation's sanctities.
Cruelty, savagery, and monstrosity are words that no longer suffice to describe the Israeli criminality. But Syrians completely recognize these crimes, and once again, they confirm their resolute support for Palestine and the resistance. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
And with that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for being with us. Take care and bye-bye.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
A gag order in the federal election interference case against former U.S. President Donald Trump was back in effect on Sunday, 29th of October, after a presiding judge ended a pause on the order. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's 2020 election interference case in Washington on Sunday, 29th of October, reimposed a narrow gag order barring him from making public comments targeting prosecutors, court staff, and potential witnesses. The reinstatement of the gag order was revealed in a brief notation on the online case docket on Sunday night. But the order itself was not immediately available, making it impossible to see the judge's rationale or the precise contours of the restrictions. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, who is presiding over the federal case charging Donald Trump with plotting to overturn the results of the 2020 election, had temporarily lifted the gag order as she considered the former president's request to keep it on hold while he challenges the restrictions on his speech in higher courts. But Judge Tanya Chutkan agreed to reinstate the order after prosecutors cited Trump's recent social media comments about his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. They said these represented an attempt to influence and intimidate a likely witness in the case. The order is a fresh reminder that Trump's penchant for incendiary and bitter rants about the four criminal cases that he's facing, though politically beneficial in rallying his supporters as he seeks to reclaim the White House, carry practical consequences in courts of law. Two separate judges have now imposed orders mandating that he rein in his speech, with the jurist presiding over a civil fraud trial in New York issuing a monetary fine last week. A request for comment was sent on Sunday to a Trump attorney, Todd Blanche. Trump, in a social media post late on Sunday, acknowledged that the gag order was back in place, calling it not constitutional. Donald Trump's lawyers have said they will seek an emergency stay of the order from the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for Washington, D.C. Circuit. The defense has said Trump is entitled to criticize prosecutors and speak truth to oppression. Trump has denied any wrongdoing in the case. He has made a central part of his 2024 campaign for president, vilifying special counsel Jack Smith and others involved in the criminal cases against him, casting himself as the victim. Prosecutors have said Trump's verbal attacks threaten to undermine the integrity of the case and risk inspiring his supporters to violence. Jack Smith's team said Donald Trump took advantage of the recent lifting of the gag order to send an unmistakable and threatening message to his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. CBS News has learned is extensively cooperating with Jack Smith's investigation. On Tuesday, ABC News reported that Jack Smith granted Mark Meadows immunity to testify under oath. But Meadows' lawyer, George Tellwhitiger, told CBS News, "I told ABC that their story was largely inaccurate. People will have to judge for themselves the decision to run it anyway." He declined to discuss the investigation with CBS News. CBS News has so far not confirmed that Mark Meadows has received immunity in exchange for his testimony. The former president mused on social media about the possibility that Mark Meadows would give testimony to Jack Smith in exchange for immunity. One part of the post said, "Some people would make that deal, but they are weaklings and cowards and so bad for the future of our failing nation. I don't think that Mark Meadows is one of them, but who really knows?" National broadcaster NBC News has also covered the same story. A gag order in the federal election interference case against former President Donald Trump was back in effect on Sunday, 29th of October, after the presiding judge ended her pause on the order. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan had granted Trump's defense team an administrative stay, meaning the gag order was on hold while the defense pursued an appeal. But on Sunday, 29th of October, Judge Tanya Chutkan signed an opinion that lifted her 20th of October stay, essentially putting the gag order back into effect. The order prohibits Donald Trump from making statements about potential witnesses or disparaging remarks about the prosecutors. Special Counsel Jack Smith's team asked for the gag order to protect the integrity of the trial and the jury pool from being influenced by Trump's statements about the case, which was filed in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. Trump's legal team did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a statement on social media platform Truth Social, the former president said, The corrupt Biden administration just took away my First Amendment right to free speech, not constitutional. Trump has frequently argued without evidence that this and other state and civil cases against him are part of attempts by President Joe Biden to thwart his effort to return to the White House as the probable Republican presidential nominee next year. Judge Chutkan has said he can continue to express that opinion as subject matter that is outside the scope of the gag order. Judge Tanya Chutkan's gag order said that testimony cited by the government demonstrates that when defendant has publicly attacked individuals, including on matters relating to this case, those individuals are consequently threatened and harassed. Trump's attorneys had said the order was overboard and would result in his suffering irreparable injury to his First Amendment rights. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Donald Trump was once again bound by the gag order in the federal criminal case charging him with conspiring to overturn the 2020 election results after a judge on Sunday, 29th of October, reinstated restrictions prohibiting him from attacking prosecutors, court staff and potential trial witnesses. The U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan also denied the former president's request to suspend the gag order indefinitely while his lawyers appealed in courts of law. Trump has been granted a reprieve when the judge temporarily lifted the gag order while she considered that request. Prosecutors argued last week that the order should be reimposed after Donald Trump took advantage and posted a slew of inflammatory statements. The statements included Trump's repeated attacks on the special counsel Jack Smith, whom he called deranged, and Trump's comments about the testimony that his former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had provided to the grand jury during the criminal investigation. Prosecutors argued that each of Trump's statements were exactly the sort of comments that the order was designed to prevent, including intimidation or influencing witnesses who could wind up testifying against him at trial and weighing on the substance of their testimony. The defendant has capitalized on the court's administrative stay to, among other prejudicial conduct, send an unmistakable and threatening message to a foreseeable witness in this case, prosecutors said in their brief. Unless the court lifts the administrative stay, the defendant will not stop.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister. And
welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, previously on Muslim Lady, we talked about visual betrayal, and then we got to the point that we have to protect ourselves from the very first step. And the first step starts from the eyes, from the gazing stuff that we have. So, we should lower down our gazes, we should be careful about where we're looking at and with what intention we're looking at. So the innocence of the eyes are very important. And I guess still there are some more of things to know about this looking things, this eye thing.
we're talking about controlling the gaze. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned in the previous episode, it could happen. We are human beings and, you know, things come up. But now that the important thing is how do you control, how you have control over it. So the first thing that we discussed was look at the consequences, reflect on the consequences if you avoid mm-hmm. looking at something that you are really wanting to look at. So also look at the consequences of this world and also look at the consequences of that world. The second point is now reflect over the drawbacks of not avoiding the forbidden sights in this world and the hereafter. So in the previous point, we said reflect on if you avoid it, what could be the consequences? And now in this episode, I want to say look for the consequences if you do not avoid. You know, there was this wealthy man who led a life of luxury and he never paid much attention to God. He often was indulged in the worldly pleasures and was staying outside his house one day. At that moment, there was a lady searching for a well-known bathroom, which was called Minjanib. And she lost her way and grew weary from wandering. And then she scanned the surroundings in the hopes of finding someone to ask for the directions. And she finds this man sitting there. Approaching him, she inquires, "Could you please tell me the way to Minjanib bathroom?" The man with the bad intent gestured towards his own house and replied, "It's right here." Then, believing that the bathroom was inside his house, the lady entered. The man promptly closed the door behind her and made an inappropriate advice. Now, look at the other part of the story. Realizing that she was trapped by this lustful man, the woman restored herself to trick and said, "I'm tired and I need a bath. Would you kindly fetch some perfume and food so that we can dine together and then I'll be at your service?" The man agrees and goes and arranges these items. And upon his return, he finds that she has escaped from his home. He felt deeply sad.
So even in those times, there were such tricks.
Yeah, you know, so this man feels deeply sad and the desire of this adultery remains in his heart. He often recited these words after that. Like, he went into this kind of depression. What happened to that very woman who asked, "Where is the Minjanib bathroom?" You know, he would often recite these lines in the poetic form. And then time passed and this man eventually feels ill. And the, you know, neighbors gather, friends gather, and they are reciting kalima for him. They are trying to make him, you know, get used to there's no God but Allah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is his messenger, in the hopes of comforting him, you know, during his final moments. But strangely, instead of uttering these sacred words, the man continues to recite the same lines about the woman.
Yeah.
In this state, he breathes his last. So that's what I was telling, you know, also has the consequences in this world. It also has the consequences in that world. Also, Imam Sadiq al-Islam who says that the gaze is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Whoever forsakes it out of Allah's fear, he will be rewarded with a faith whose sweetness will relish in his own heart.
Yeah, so just let's take a moment of contemplation on the story you just said and go for a short break. Welcome back, dear ladies. You're listening to Muslim Lady. I'm Asma, your host. It's your service. And then we have Sister Zainab with us, where we're talking about visual betrayal and how to control our gazes and how to control our eyes. Well, previously in the previous episode, I told you about a poem, but I forgot to read the last part of that poem. The poet was complaining about his eyes and about his heart and the desires of these two that has entangled him like so strongly. So in the end, he says that I finally would create a knife and then gouge my eyes out and then free my heart from the terribles that my eyes are getting my heart into. So you see, if I always say that the blind people maybe are counted as the kind of people who have less sins than the others.
Right.
Because they do not see many things. And many sins start with gaze, with just a simple gaze that has been directed to a direction that is not suitable for you to look
now at. Now you will be very amazed with this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he gives a kind of comparison. You know, in his last sermon, this is narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, quoted from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if someone stares at the neighbor's home with the intention of like looking at the body of the non-mahram, and then God will enter him into the hell with the hypocrites who were always looking for people's faults in this world. See the comparison. Like if you're looking at something indecent, you're as if you're looking at somebody's fault.
Yeah.
And he will not leave this world until God disgraces him, and also in the hereafter.
That's another aspect.
Will
as well.
Reveal his faults to the people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to be training and discipline your ears mm-hmm. and eyes, our minds.
And why we get ourselves into troubles, we shouldn't have to from the very first step, from the very start. When you can control something by controlling your emotions, by controlling your eyes, your ears, your mouth, then why not?
Our minds and imaginations are basically influenced and greatly influenced by what we see
exactly.
and what we hear.
Yeah.
You know, by controlling these senses, if we control what we hear and what we see, we can more effectively manage our desires.
That's very true.
So building self-control is very, very important. Then ask yourself a very important question. Who gave you these beautiful eyes?
Allah, of course.
And God blessed you with them, you know. And are you using them to commit sins?
Of course, he has given them to me to use them as a
like,
blessing.
Ask this question to yourself.
Yeah.
Often ask this question to yourself. And then remember your goal. Your eyes are meant to see the nur of Imam Zama'at Jalla Ta'ala Faraja. So do not squander them in the immodest sights.
Exactly.
Do not, your eyes are not meant for something like indecent.
Exactly.
Your eyes are meant for something far more noble.
Mm-hmm. So since these eyes have been given to you as a blessing from the one who's your Lord, then these eyes are meant to see sacred things, are meant to see beautiful things. Then again, it could be considered as a betrayal to your Lord.
Right.
If you look at indecent things.
And you will be asked about each and every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given
yeah.
you. Eyes are one of them. Eyes are the most beautiful.
The thing is that
blessings.
In the other world, each of these body parts would talk of themselves alone. So they would not give me the time to justify situations.
Right.
And they themselves would say the truth. Yeah, so there's a lot to digest. So let's go for a short break to see what we are coming to see next.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, the story of the eyes and how much our heart suffers from that. Yes, this is Muslim Lady. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. And this is the finalement, the last part of today's episode.
Yeah, so we were saying how to control your gaze.
Yeah.
Whenever possible, try to avoid the places where there's excessive presence of non-mahrams, you know. Because the more we expose ourselves to non-mahrams, the forbidden sites, even the movies, or other things, it becomes harder to resist.
Yeah.
It becomes harder to control. So it's better to avoid that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And always maintain this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you at each and every step of your life. In Surah Hadid, it's very beautifully stated, He is with you wherever you are. Wallahu bima ta'amaluna basir. Allah sees all that you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. And there is not a scene from my life that gets away from His eyes.
Right. You know, whenever temptation comes to our mind, we should immediately focus our attention on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this could be a great victory. We should not take any sin lightly. Like, I should not say, it was a small gaze and it's okay. It's not okay. Don't take it lightly.
It's not okay.
And it's necessary for you to refrain from even makruhat. Like you would say, don't wait for if I go to, so you know, if you go to a top edge of a hill, don't say, now I will fall. Try to be a meter away, 2 meters away, wherein there's less chance of falling down.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's
just to take all the precautions.
Right. It means like do not even go for makruhat. Exactly. Do not even go for those what we have been told to avoid these things. And always do a calculation at night whenever you sleep. Whenever you find any mistakes that you did throughout the day, ask for forgiveness. Read about the pious people. Read about the martyrs. And, you know, install some beautiful sentences, beautiful hadiths on your walls and try to change them time to time with newer sentences. Reading these sentences every day would actually make you aware, keep your that, you know, mm-hmm. inner insight
yeah.
awakened.
To be actually conscious about what you're doing.
Right. So always remember, eye is one of the ways of entering information from the outside world and feeding the human psyche. The religious personalities have taken care of this organ with the help of Quran and the Hadith and have warned the believers against the dangers of using it inappropriately.
Exactly. And by the way, the things that we're talking about, the eyes, could be applied to the ears as well. It could be applied to your hands, could be applied to your mouth, could be applied to all the body parts that you have.
Everything starts with the eyes.
Yeah, but everything starts with the eyes. That's why we're talking about it.
That's why we actually give a more importance on this yeah. topic of, you know, starting with the
and
eyes.
And as we said, it's not just men. Even
it's
women.
It's also women. Because yeah. women are also human beings. So you have to stop yourself at the very beginning from your eyes. So, you know, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur does not only tell Muslim men to lower their gaze. Once he orders, commands Muslim men to lower their gaze, immediately he commands Muslim women to lower their gaze.
Exactly. And, you know, there's this saying that says, when you are in a cold weather and there are different doors that are opened, the best and the most logical way to protect yourself from the cold is to close the doors.
Close the doors.
Close yeah. the doors before the wind gets in.
Beautiful.
So that's the most logical way to treat it. Yeah, I know. It's very difficult to actually be a pious person. It's very difficult to be virtuous. It's very difficult to stay committed to the submission that you have towards Allah. But at the same time, it's not impossible. We as human beings have got an intention. Then if we work for it, Allah would be with us and would help us, would double our intention with goodness and blessings. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just enjoyed it. I leave you to God's never-slipping eyes. May He protect you every time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Over 40 confidential FBI sources say there's evidence of criminal activity committed by Joe, James, and Hunter Biden. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, charged President Joe Biden's Department of Justice with shutting down concerns. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Fox News Channel has covered this story and tells us more. According to information obtained by Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, the FBI maintained more than 40 confidential human sources on various criminal matters relating to the Biden family, including Joe Biden, dating back to his time as vice president. The confidential human sources provided criminal information to the FBI relating to Joe Biden, his brother James Biden, and his son Hunter Biden. Those confidential human sources were managed by multiple FBI field officers across the nation, including the FBI's Seattle, Washington field office. But Senator Chuck Grassley learned that an FBI task force within the Washington field office sought to, and in some cases successfully, shut down reporting and information from those sources by falsely discrediting the information as foreign disinformation. That effort caused investigative activity to cease. However, despite those efforts by the FBI task force, Senator Chuck Grassley said, in at least one instance, a confidential human source and its information had been vetted by multiple U.S. attorney's offices, which found no hits to known sources of Russian disinformation. The revelations were laid out in a letter that Senator Grassley wrote to Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director General Christopher Wray late on Tuesday night, 24th of October. The letter was exclusively obtained by Fox News Digital. Senator Chuck Grassley wrote to Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. He said, "Based on the information provided to my office over a period of years by multiple credible whistleblowers, there appears to be an effort within the Justice Department and the FBI to shut down investigative activity relating to the Biden family." Senator Chuck Grassley added, "Such decisions point to significant political bias infecting the decision-making process of not only the Attorney General and FBI Director, but also line agents and prosecutors." He added, "Our republic cannot survive such a political infection, and you have an obligation to this country to clear the air." Senator Chuck Grassley has been investigating for years information, records, and charges from multiple Justice Department whistleblowers that indicate there is and has been an effort among certain Justice Department and FBI officials to improperly delay and stop full and complete investigative activity into the Biden family, including, but not limited to, FD-1023s, referencing the Biden family. An FD-1023 is an FBI-generated form used to document confidential human source reporting. Senator Chuck Grassley wrote, "An essential question that must be answered is this. Did the FBI investigate the information or shut it down? Noting that If those sources were improperly shut down, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for the FBI. One critical FD-1023 in question was first reported on by Fox News Digital earlier this year. That form included reporting from a highly credible confidential human source who charged a criminal bribery scheme between then-Vice President Joe Biden, his son Hunter Biden, and the founder and CEO of Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma Holdings, Mykola Zoroshevsky. The form details multiple meetings and conversations the source had with the top executive of Burisma Holdings over the course of several years, starting in 2015. Hunter Biden at the time sat on the executive board of Burisma. The source told the FBI that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden coerced Zoroshevsky to pay them millions of dollars in exchange for their help in getting the Ukrainian prosecutor investigating the company, Viktor Shokin, fired. The White House has denied the charges. But that form and those charges are part of an ongoing investigative matter, which Senator Chuck Grassley says indicates his investigative credibility and authenticity. In the letter transmitted to the Department of Justice and FBI late on Tuesday, 24th of October, Senator Chuck Grassley revealed that in December of 2019, the FBI Washington field office closed a 205B kleptocracy case into Zoroshevsky. That probe had been opened in January of 2016 by a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act squad based out of the same field office, a squad that included agents from FBI headquarters. At the time of the closing of the probe in December of 2019, Hunter Biden's role on the executive board of Burisma was heavily under the microscope amid the first impeachment of former U.S. President Donald Trump. The impeachment proceedings were based on a request from Trump to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate the Biden family's business dealings in Ukraine and why the prosecutor investigating Burisma had been fired. Months later, in February of 2020, Senator Chuck Grassley said in a meeting took place at the FBI's Pittsburgh field office, which involved discussion about investigative matters relating to the Hunter Biden investigation and related inquiries. By March of 2020, a Guardian assessment was opened in that office to analyze information about the Bidens provided by then-Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. During the course of the assessment, the Department of Justice and FBI officials located an FD-1023 from the 1st of March 2017 relating to the kleptocracy investigation of Zoroshevsky. That document included a reference to Hunter Biden being on the board of executive of Burisma, which the handling agent deemed at the time non-relevant information to the ongoing criminal financial case. Senator Chuck Grassley said, when that FD-1023 was discovered, Justice Department and FBI officials asked the handler for the confidential human source to re-interview that confidential human source. Senator Grassley said eventually that re-interview took place and the aforementioned FD-1023 charging a criminal scheme between then-Vice President Joe Biden, his son Hunter Biden, and Zoroshevsky was created in June of 2020. But Senator Chuck Grassley said federal prosecutors in Pittsburgh were limited in their investigative abilities because it was merely an assessment. Prosecutors were not able to issue subpoenas and search warrants, but instead only able to conduct database checks. The Newsweek has also covered the same story and tells us more. In August of 2020, FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Outen opened an assessment which was used by the Foreign Influence Task Force to seek out confidential human source information at FBI field offices across the country relating to the Biden family. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, said he then worked to falsely discredit them as foreign disinformation. The task force attempted to shut down the investigative steps on the FD 1023 in question, saying it was subject to foreign disinformation. Senator Chuck Grassley wrote, "It should be emphasized that the basis for trying to shut down the Biden family 1023 has been described to my office as highly suspect and is contradicted by other documents my office has been told exists within the Foreign Influence Task Force, FBI Seattle, Washington Field Office, FBI Baltimore, Maryland Field Office, and FBI Headquarters." During the same time period in August of 2020, the task force traveled to Capitol Hill and improperly briefed Senator Grassley on their investigation into the Biden family after pressure from congressional Democrats. Senator Chuck Grassley wrote, "That improper briefing was used by Democrats and the partisan media to falsely claim our investigation, which was based on Barack Obama-Biden administration records, was impacted by foreign disinformation." The Pittsburgh assessment was ultimately closed weeks later in September of 2020, and a final report of its findings was transmitted by U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Pennsylvania, Scott Brady, to the Maine Justice Department, specifically directed to Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue. The subject line of that report, dated 21st of September 2020, was vetting. In that report, Brady noted that investigations had limited ability to verify all the information due to their lack of authorization for a grand jury. Investigators were unable to issue subpoenas or relevant documents or for interviews, though the report included a recommendation that additional investigative activity be carried out.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
headlines, Israel continues with this indiscriminate strikes on the besieged Gaza Strip for the 28th day, targeting more civilian infrastructure, including four school shelters. UN rights experts warn of a looming humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, saying time is running out to prevent a genocide in the blockaded territory.